right now. Bible says it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I soon go home right now, not mess something up within myself. I hope you know what I'm saying when I say that tonight. I sure am glad we serve a God.
Yes.
It's faithful.
Yes, sir.
That's worthy.
Yes.
Knows exactly what we need.
Yep.
When we need it.
Right.
He's never missed the mark. He's never needed an eraser. Never made a smudge. This ain't my message tonight, but the Lord asked me to read this. I don't know why, but I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 9, the Bible said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. By the Spirit of God. You know what that simply means tonight? It's just if you had never done it. Just if you had never thought it. Just as you'd have never crossed that line. That's the way it is in the eyes of God tonight. That's how faithful He is and how true He is and how real He is. That no matter where we've been or what we've done, once the blood of Jesus has been applied, it's just as if we've never done that. The Bible said such were some of you. That's past tense, not such are some of you. But you were that. But because of the grace of God and His mercy, you're no longer that tonight. Amen. Well, I'm glad. I mean, I believe Brother Kevin said a while ago, if the Lord never done another thing, do you realize tonight that if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, that hell will never be your home. You'll never have to worry about the flames of hell licking your legs. Hey, you'll never have to worry about that horrible pit or that outer dark. You'll never have to worry about that. And it's all because of the grace of God. It wasn't anything you've done. It wasn't something we deserved. We didn't earn it. We couldn't work for it. We couldn't buy it. But thank God for the blood of Jesus that purified and cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. He is worthy to be praised. I get real bothered and real nervous when that still don't excite us. Amen. When that still don't do something down on the inside of our soul. Amen. I'm telling you, it don't even have to be mine, but I can see an old car out somewhere. You know, it's got that pump to it, that cam to it. And I don't even have to be taking it home, putting it in my garage. Just seeing it, hearing it, man, that does something for me. I like that. I enjoy that. Hey, can I say tonight, I'm glad. Hey, listen, even myself, if the Lord never does anything, just sitting here tonight listening to you talk about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the blessings of God, I'm glad that stirs my heart tonight. Amen. I'd say it's probably one of the oldest songs in our hymn book tonight. They sung, "How Great Thou Art." Boy, couldn't we go home tonight and just rejoice? How good God is tonight. I don't have a sad story to tell tonight. Just like this brother said, these prayers I've prayed and I've not yet seen the answer. I don't have a sad story to tell you about it tonight. Why? Because He's still in control. He's still God. He still knows what He's doing. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, I'm still amazed. I'm going, so I'll just mind the Lord if that's all right. I still don't know yet I'm supposed to preach. This might be your service. Amen. You might supposed to say something. Hey, but I'm still amazed tonight that the God that hung all this into existence, spoke all this into existence, would still take time to commune with somebody like you, somebody like me, and knowing who we are, knowing what we are. And you looked at yourself in the mirror before you left, and I mean the best that you could make of yourself. You still need God tonight. Oh, I'm thankful that He loves people like you and I tonight. That He'd commune with, not that He'd just save us and take us, keep us out of hell, but that He'd commune with us. I believe the preacher said a while ago, every single morning, His mercies are new. You ever laid down your head at the pillow at night and thought, man, just don't know if I can make it another day.
Right.
Wake up the next morning, God's fresh again. I mean, His mercy's new again.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what is that mercy? That mercy's withholding from you what you do deserve. Oh my, I've heard people make this foolish statement. I hope when I stand before God, God will give me justice. No, I sure am glad I didn't get justice. If I'd have got justice, I'd have went to hell. Thank God I got mercy. God give to me what I did not deserve and withheld from me what I did deserve. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'll read a couple of verses tonight. If you ain't going to testify and run laps and stuff, I'm going to have to preach, all right? Boy, ain't God good?
Amen.
He's good tonight. Oh, He's faithful. What would we rejoice in tonight if it were not for Him?
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you stand with me, reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I just want to read a couple of verses tonight, try to be real sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Bible said in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy, the Bible said in verse number 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For thee which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Heavenly Father, as we come before You tonight, God, I realize I'm just a man, Father, Lord, and God, I'll be honest with you tonight, Father, I just want to be real sensitive to You. Father, I sure don't want to mess anything up. God, I sure don't want to miss it tonight. Father, I want to try to be real sensitive to You. And Father, I feel like this is where You led us tonight. Father, this is what You'd have us to preach. God, You know exactly what Your people need tonight. Lord, I pray You'll stir about the hearts and the souls of Your people. God, I pray You'll encourage them, Father, challenge them tonight. God, whatever the need may be within our hearts and our lives, may we trust You, may we believe You. Father, may You get glory and honor, and we'll thank You for who You are and for that You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, I'm glad the Lord is in control and He knows what's going on, and I'm glad He's always on time and God's one puts everything together. Amen. I'm thankful for that. As far as I know, I've never been in this building before until tonight, unless I forgot about it. I don't remember ever being in this building. It's been a long time since I saw Brother Chris, and I saw a man today while I was working, and he said, "Where are you preaching at tonight?" And I looked at him just a moment with that, you know, deer in the headlight looks, and I said, "Brother, it's right on the tip of my tongue." I said, "Give me just a minute." And I said, "Blue Ridge." He said, "That's right." He said, "I saw your announcement. I saw it a brochure somewhere this morning." And he said, "Who's the preacher over there?" I said, I still looking at him with that blank look, you know. I said, "I know it. I mean, I know who he is." I said, "I coached him in baseball." I said, "I preached to him. I wanted to wear him out a time or two." And when I said, "Wear him out a time or two," it come to me. I said, "Christopher Park." He said, "That's right, that's right." So anyway, I said all that to say this. I've been praying about this since he asked me to come. I had it on my heart and my mind today and praying about it at work. And I come in here tonight and this is what the Lord asked me to do. And I mean, the things that's been said and the songs that's been sung. And if I could preach or title this message tonight, I want to title it simply this: I am persuaded. Can I say tonight that you don't have to talk me into this? You don't have to threaten me or my life or my family's life for me to believe what I'm preaching tonight. Hey, listen, to get me to put my stamp of approval on what I've seen God do here tonight. Hey, I don't have to be held over hell tonight to get me to preach what I'm about to preach tonight. I'm glad by the Word of God and the Spirit of God that I have been persuaded tonight. Amen. I want you to notice tonight that Paul's one giving us the testimony here. Paul's the one that's telling us about his persuasion. Paul's also the one said, "I have been appointed a preacher of the Gentiles." I want you to notice some things about Paul. And verse number 11, we see his position. He said, "I am appointed a preacher." Paul is not ashamed of the position that the Lord had given him. The reason Paul's not ashamed of that position is Paul remembers the man that he used to be. Hey, can I say tonight, if there's anything you're ashamed of, let it be the lack of what we do for God. But do not let it be what God hath done for you and I tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, I don't have anything to be ashamed of tonight. Hey, I'm glad for the position that the Lord put me in. I'm not talking about the pastor of Charity Hill. I'm not talking about just being able to preach the gospel. I'm talking about being able to be called a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for my position tonight. Not only that, but in verse number 12, not only do we see Paul's position, I believe we see Paul's persecution. He said, "For thee which cause I also suffer these things." But then notice what he said, "Nevertheless." You know what Paul said? Well, I'll tell you what he said in another part of Scripture. He said, "All those things I counted gain. Hey, when I compare them to the things of the Lord, they are no more than dung." I can't tell you what I really want to say about that, but Paul said this, "They're a stench. They mean nothing. Hey, listen, they're just a pile of dung. It means nothing," is what he's saying, "when it is compared to what the Lord hath to offer." Hey, I'm going to say tonight, and I know you probably heard it over and over again throughout your life. Hey, but can I say, even on a day that you don't always feel saved, can we be honest? I mean, now listen, if you get up every morning and you go look in the mirror and you're like, "Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God." Pray for the rest of us, amen? I mean, I'll just be honest with you, they butterflies ain't always flying around in my room. I don't kiss the lilies every morning, to be honest with you. But I sure am glad to God I serve. Hey, I'm glad to God I serve the one that lays us down at night. He's the one that wakes us up the morning. He's the one that puts the sun down and brings it up the next morning. Hey, I want to say that I want you to understand that Paul said, "Nevertheless, hey, I don't have." Paul said, "There's some sufferings that goes along with the call of Christ and the call to preach." Oh, but Paul said, "Wait just a minute. Nevertheless, I got something better to tell you." Hey, can I say tonight, man, we've been persecuted. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we're having this weather change, and probably everybody in the building tonight has experienced this, or you will. You go out of the morning, and that low tire light's on because of the temperature change. And if we ain't careful, we think something like this. "Oh, Lord, I was already running late. Now I got to stop and put air in the tire." Or if you're like me, you know, it's time to go to church. And I met my wife tonight in the Walmart parking lot. She got in the vehicle with me. You know why? We was going to drive the nicer car, but she said, "If we're going to drive my car, the gas light is on." I said, "Well, we're already running late. We better take this car." Hey, can I say, a lot of times, I mean, the battery goes dead when it gets cold weather. Oh, God, why are you punished? We ain't really faced persecution. Matter of fact, Paul faced a lot of persecution. I don't have time to preach to you all of Paul's persecution, but Paul said, "Nevertheless." Hey, Paul, what Paul was saying is, we ain't got time to talk about that. We got better things to talk about. I got more stuff to tell you. Hey, listen, can I say tonight, even when you think you're having a bad day, or a dumpy day, or a dumpy week, oh, can I say there's still something down on the inside of you that is reminding you you're still saved by the grace of God. You're not going to hell. Your sins are gone. Hey, what you used to be is past tense. Amen. Notice it. Not only do we see that, we see his position. We see his persecution. Also in verse number 12, we see his proclamation. Notice what he said. He said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Now, there's a lot of things tonight I enjoy. And thank God, don't Brother Kevin Nunn look real holy back there with that star shining on his chest. Praise the Lord. Hey, if I'd have known that, I'd have went to the restroom, swapped shirts. I'd have preached in something like that tonight. That's holy, brother. Got that star on it. Hey, let me say, I got to hurry because they're playing. Hey, man, we got to get there and watch. I'm just kidding. I want to say this tonight. There's a proclamation. Now, I enjoy that team. I love that team. But I'm telling you something tonight. They don't have a clue who I am. They don't know me. I've been in their stadium. I paid their high prices to eat and to sit in that stadium. But they don't have a clue who I am tonight. Hey, can I say the fellow that owns the Cowboys, he don't know who I am. Oh, but the God of glory, he knows you tonight. He's got interest in you tonight. I want you to understand something. He said this. Paul makes a proclamation. He said, "I know whom I have believed. Now, I know the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm going to be honest with you. After the drought we've had, I'm having a hard time believing in them. Now, that may sound humorous. You may leave here calling me carnal because I use that as an illustration. But I want to say this today. I'm glad I know who Jesus is today. And I'm glad I can believe in Him. Not only that, but I'm glad I can preach you the gospel. And you can also come to know Him. And you also can believe in Him tonight. Paul's not just saying this ain't a fairy tale. This ain't just a story. This ain't some tradition's been passed. Paul said, I know Him. And I believe Him. Boy, aren't you glad tonight if you've ever been saved by the grace of God? Aren't you glad it ain't a fairy tale? Oh, aren't you glad tonight you can say, hey, preacher, preach on. I know Him. And I believe in Him tonight. Amen. Not only that, but I want you to see in verse number 12, we also see His persuasion. He said, I know whom I have believed, His proclamation, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed to Him against that day. Now see, I don't believe the Lord works in coincidence. Just right before I come to preach, this fellow gives his testimony of today and of the past and of the present. Y'all get that? He said He's never let me down, and I have already proclaimed to my wife and am believing that the Lord has something out there. That's the present. Or that's the future. But the present is that right now, He's making that proclamation. He's making it on what God's done in the past, what God's done in the present, and what He's believing God to do in the future. You know why? Because He's persuaded. That means time after time after time, God has proven Himself faithful every time. Amen? You realize tonight? Not just in this congregation, but across the world. We could call the whole world together tonight and say, can one person ever say that he's been a day late?
Go ahead. How about that?
Could anybody ever say that he turned his back and walked away? No. Y'all listen to me tonight?
Yeah,
matter of fact, I can take you to Scripture tonight, and the Bible said this. The Lord stepped over there. He said, I tell you what to do. He said, call the mountains and call the streams and let them testify against me. Oh, but guess what? No mountain testified. No stream testified. And even the malefactor at Calvary said, Lord, remember me. Hey, I want to say tonight, oh yes. Hey, listen, Pilate washed his hands of it. He said, I find no fault in him. There's cherubims in heaven tonight flying around looking for some just cause that he can't be there. But my Bible records they're saying, holy, holy, holy. Hey, I want to tell you in Revelation chapter number 5. Listen, when that Lamb comes, oh yes, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John said he was a lamb as though he'd been slain at the slaughter. He said when he came, he was worthy to open those books. Well, I want to say tonight, he's persuading me over and over and over again. Notice this tonight. Paul's saying, I have been in the past. I am right now in the present. And I'm going to continue to be in the future. He said, young Timothy, if you're going to make much of your ministry, you must believe God. You must realize your proclamation. You must realize that you've been persuaded. Oh, you must realize your position, young Timothy, that you have. I want you to notice this tonight. Just a few things that we ought to be persuaded on tonight. I believe the way to God, number one, the way to God is plain. Amen. Hey, can I say tonight, we simply ought to be persuaded on that it takes the blood. It is nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm just saying tonight, the way is plain. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't buy it. Hey, but get this. If you get it, you can't lose it. You can't forget it. Can I say something real quick right here? I'll never forget. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was just a little boy. We called it the junior class, or junior boys class. Primary. That was what it was. Primary. Primary class. Her name was Miss Wanda. Miss Wanda was on a walker. Doctors told her that she could never have any more children, and if she did, more than likely she'd die through the pregnancy or in the child labor. I don't know her issues exactly with her physical body, but it withheld her from being able to walk. We was in a service one morning at Calvary, and I was sitting over here on the front row right on the end. And I was in the spit section there from the preacher, you know. And Miss Wanda, she sat back about over there where my youngest daughter Faith is sitting. She got to testifying. Spirit got to moving real good. She got to testifying, and she waddled out in the aisle there on that walker. She got to testifying about the goodness of God. And she got to telling everybody about how the Lord said, the doctor said she couldn't have any children. And she said, but the Lord's answered my prayer, patted that little girl on the head. She's about 5 years old, sitting there on the pew beside of her. And about the time she patted that little girl on the head, I believe the Lord patted her on the head. And she left that walker sitting there. And here she come down the aisle, doing this number right here. And she walked all the way down the aisle. It's about twice that length right there. And she come across the front of the church, doing this number right here. And praising God. You know what happened? She had been persuaded that the God that had talked to her was still going to hear and answer them prayers. Hey, I want to say tonight, I want you to understand, it is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Miss Wanda come down through there. Went over there and testified a while. And as years went on, Miss Wanda's dad got Alzheimer's. And she stood up one Wednesday night in a service. And it's about like tonight, you know. It's kindly bubbling. People's testifying. And she got to talking about the blood of Jesus. And I want to say tonight, not only does it take the blood, but thank God it takes the Bible. Amen. It takes the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad for the Word of God, aren't you? It's made flesh and it dwelt among us. I'm glad. Hey, listen. Hey, I know there's off versions out there. Hey, but I just want to say tonight, I'm glad we have the open, the living, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, we don't need a rewritten Word. We need to reread the one we got. Amen. Glad for the Bible. She said this. She said, I went into Dad's room today. He said he thought I was Mom. He said he couldn't think of my name. He said whatever he called his wife, that's what he's calling her. Said, I got the Bible out and I started reading it to him. Said, Daddy didn't even know who I was. Said, but I got his Word out and I started reading it to him. Said, Daddy said, I know him. Amen. I know him. Yeah. Hey, I want to say something tonight. I'm glad that I know who he is. I'm glad I can report to you tonight. He knows who you are. He knows who I am tonight. Paul said, I am persuaded. I'm glad for the Word of God tonight. Hey, can I say the way to God is plain? How is it plain? Because it still takes the blood. It still takes the Bible. But in John 3:3, we also know this tonight. It takes a new birth. He told Nicodemus, he said, hey, listen, except a man be born of the Spirit, that that is born of the flesh is flesh, but that that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Boy, aren't you glad tonight? Hey, listen, we didn't have to enter back into the womb, but thank God we were birthed under the family of God. Amen. I'm glad it takes a birth tonight. I believe this with all my heart. This may cause controversy tonight, but you help me right here. Would you agree tonight it still takes the Bible?
Right.
Would you agree tonight the Bible is still inerrant?
Right.
It's still infallible. It's the perfect Word of God.
That's right.
Would you believe tonight? Would you agree that this is what our Bible says tonight? Let God's Word be truth, and every man a liar. So I want to say tonight, that Word has final authority over you and I tonight. Don't matter what you and I think. It don't matter our opinions tonight. It's what thus saith the Word of God. I've heard people say this. Now, preacher, I know what the Bible says. But how do you feel about this? Well, what does it matter how I feel about it? There's a lot of things that Bible says. I don't like the way it says it. But if I'm going to be right with God, I've got to live like it says. And see, that's the problem we're living. I ain't got time to preach all that. Now, that's the problem where we're at. We don't like what it says, therefore we ain't going to live by it. But I want to say tonight, the only way we're ever going to be persuaded is when we realize that it still takes the Bible, it still takes the blood, and it still takes a new birth. Amen? I've heard people say this right here. Now, preacher, I understand tonight what that Bible says. And because that Bible said it, and I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's not true tonight.
You're right, bro.
That Word's forever settled in heaven, whether you and I believe it or not.
Right.
You and I believing it don't change the fact it's already settled.
Right.
Matter of fact, when Jesus stood before Peter, and He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail again." He wasn't talking about where He's standing. He's talking about Himself, the rock of our salvation tonight. Upon this rock I'll be. Can I say tonight, when the Lord built the church and He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, there is nothing that can prevail against the settled Word tonight. Amen? That Word is forever settled in heaven. I'm glad the way to God is plain tonight. It takes the blood. It takes the Bible. It takes a new birth. Not only that, but I'm glad the Word of God tonight is not only plain, but I'm glad it's pure tonight. Lester Olof simply said this, the Bible does not need to be rewritten. It simply just needs to be rewritten. Hey, can I say tonight that the Bible is pure in its content? Hey, can I say it's inerrant? It's inerrant tonight. That's why it's pure in its content. Hey, can I say this? That Bible means exactly what it says, and it says exactly what it means. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight, that Bible ain't like this preacher here. It don't get tongue-tied. It don't stutter. It don't forget somebody's name. It don't have a hiccup. It don't have an uh-oh. Hey, I'm glad tonight it is inerrant tonight. Not only that, but can I say the Bible's pure in its character? It's all about Jesus.
Right.
It's pure in its character. You realize that even the world found no fault in Him.
Yeah, right.
Everything they accused Him of, there was no fault in Him tonight. I'm still amazed that somebody that pure would have anything to do with somebody as corrupt. Oh my, somebody that moral would love people that are immoral tonight. Oh my, I'm glad tonight the Bible's pure in its content. I'm glad the Bible's pure in its character. Oh, but can I say this? I'm glad the Bible is pure in its creator. Do you realize that God is the author of that Word tonight? The same one that stepped out on nothing and made it all. He is still the author of that book tonight. Oh yes, I'm glad that that Bible's pure in its creator. God is the author of it. Can I say this? Number three tonight. The will of God is pleasant. In Psalms chapter number 40 tonight. And in verse number 8. I want you to notice what your Bible says. In Psalms chapter 40. And in verse number 8. Listen to what the Word of God says. Right here. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Boy, aren't you glad for the Spirit of God? I'll be honest with you, there's times that the flesh don't want to do what's right. But thank God for the Spirit of God that overcomes that tonight. Hey, I want to say the will of God is pleasant. There is delight in finding the will of God. I don't know anything that can be more miserable than not knowing the will of God for your life. What does God want me to do? What would God have me to do? But can I say tonight, in finding the will of God for our life, I'm glad there is delight in that tonight. And Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Oh, I'm glad for that. He also said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Paul wasn't wondering what he was supposed to do.
Right,
it's a scary time when we've got Christians been saved for 15 years. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Still don't know they're supposed to be faithful to the house of God. Still don't know we're supposed to be faithful to our Bible reading. Still don't know we're supposed to be faithful to our prayer time. Hey, Paul knew what he was called to do. And Paul was faithful to that position. Notice this. I said a minute ago that it was pure in its content. And the Bible was pure in its character. It was pure in its creator. But then we see that the will of God's pleasant. There's delight in finding the will of God. Can I say tonight, God don't save us for us just to wander around.
Yeah.
I mean, God has a purpose for it. Isn't that amazing that somebody like Him would use somebody like us in the purpose of His will tonight? Hey, I'm glad not only this, there's delight in finding the will of God. But can I say tonight, there's delight in following the will of God. Now, there's one thing in knowing what God wants you to do and doing what God wants you to do. There's not only delight in finding the will of God, there's delight in following the will of God. I'm still amazed. I was just thinking when I was sitting back there listening to the nun sisters sing the things, that, the services that just in the last 3 or 4 years that God hath allowed us to be in to get. But then the times that we're not in service to get, y'all are somewhere else and we're somewhere else still serving the same God. And then we come back together and it's like that. I mean, it's amazing. Just wonderful. I mean, like, I'm scared to get up and preach after all that takes place because I don't want to mess anything up. Hey, I want to say tonight, can I say there's delight in following the will of God? There's no way tonight. I don't have a sad story to tell. There is no way that I could stand here tonight and tell you that over all these past years that I saw all this coming and what God was going to do. Hey, Brother Kevin, did you ever imagine when that doctor handed them little girls over to you, all that God was going to do and the places He's going to take you? Hey, I'm glad there is delight in following the will of God tonight. Amen. Paul realized that. Why? Because Paul was on a pathway of destruction. Paul's the same man that persecuted the church. Now Paul said, I've been appointed to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Paul said, them old dead dogs, them that was the rejects, them that was not the chosen of the Lord, that the Lord had appointed me to be a preacher. And can I say this tonight? That's where you and I got in. Hey, I'm glad that He loved the Gentile. Oh, I'm glad for our spiritual Boaz tonight. Hey, listen, it took Him a Gentile bride. Loved you and I tonight. Amen? It's delight in following the will of God. But can I say tonight? There's delight in fulfilling the will of God. Knowing that's what God had you do.
Right.
Knowing that's what God wanted you to do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fulfilling the will of God. I mean, if just one more soul were to get saved.
Right.
Man, wouldn't that be a joy tonight?
Oh, yeah.
One more person were to walk the aisle. Hey, one more young person ought to get a hold. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol getting a hold of them. But I'm talking about some young people getting a hunger and a thirst for the living Word of God tonight.
Yes.
Boy, wouldn't it just be worth it all?
Yes.
Notice this tonight, and I'll be finished in just a moment. We see tonight the way to God's plan. We also see tonight that the Word of God is pure. The will of God's pleasant. I want to say this tonight, and I'll be done. The wisdom of God is perfect. Aren't you glad God knows? The wisdom of God is perfect. Can I say this tonight? God has never forgotten anything. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And that He is able to keep that I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you realize Paul is not the only one ever committed anything to God? The Lord's never forgot anything.
Right.
Do you realize tonight that you've committed to the Lord? Now, we're going somewhere. You better hang on here. Don't go to sleep yet. Lord remembers what you've... Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Paul said, I know that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. But I got good news for you tonight. The only thing that God has ever forgotten is that He said He'd never remember against you. The only thing He's ever put out of His remembrance is that He promised that He'd never remember against you again. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, that shows a great ability tonight. You see, a lot of times if we apologize, we tell one another we forgive them. But just as soon as we see them, we remember it. I mean, we may not remember their name, but we remember what they did. That's the flesh. But do you realize that every time that you go to God, that you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? And God don't see you as who you used to be. He sees you as how the Son presented you. If you'll remember, in Luke chapter number 16, when that prodigal came home, the Bible said the father ran, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I believe with all my heart, just by studying that out, You see, men in that day, not like these drag queens we have today, but men wore long skirts to keep their legs covered up because it was a shame to them to show their legs. So that father had to shame himself when he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Well, do you realize that when Christ come out of glory to die on the cross, the Bible said He humbled Himself as a man. He took upon the sin of the world. He shamed Himself that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. Now, you can argue if you want to tonight, but I believe there's a host of people watching this ceremony because that father, in the day that this took place, and what he had broke and the vows that he had broke and the way that he had marred his father's name, that father had all right when that son bowed down on the ground to put his foot right there on the smooth of his neck and to kill him. That's what he had right to do. And I believe, Brother Kevin, whenever that boy's coming home, and here's what I want you to see. If that father saw him a great way off, that tells me that father was looking for him. Because when he is yet a great way off, the father saw him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed. Now don't you know that everybody standing around, they're ready to watch this.
Right.
What's going to happen? You see, they don't nobody know about the fatted calf. They don't nobody know about the shoes. Nobody knows about the ring. Nobody knows about the best robe. You see, the father's got all that stuff. Why? Because he's looking for it. He's awaiting on it. Hey, I know what Satan will tell you. I know how Satan will lie to you, but I just want to say something. Before you ever came to God, he is looking for you. Amen? Now notice this. Whenever that father fell down on that son, the Bible said that that son said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants." While that son's a crying out to that father and he's fell on his neck, that father has covered that son. Do you think maybe in that crowd, now don't bust my bubble right here. Do you think maybe in that crowd, somebody said, "Well, who's that talking?" And somebody else says, "I don't know. I can hear the voice of the son, but I can only see the father." Do you realize tonight that when you and I ever go to God, that because of the blood of Jesus, it may sound like the voice of Marty, but all he sees is the blood of Jesus. It may sound like the voice of Kevin, but all he sees is the blood of Jesus. You realize tonight there's no more to be remembered against you and I. He put them out of remembrance tonight. It ain't that He forgot about it. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? It ain't some weakness that God forgot about it. He purposely put them out of His remembrance that they'll never be remembered against you anymore. Can I say this? Whenever that father put that best robe on his son, you know what he was saying? Son, it's forgiven and it's forgotten. It's forgotten about. When you walk up in the house with that robe and that ring on your finger, them new shoes on your feet, son, it's forgotten about. It's just if you'd have never done it. Hey, listen, he missed out on a lot of blessings staying around, but thank God he didn't miss out on the gifts of the Father. There's a lot of things that we missed out on by wallowing in sin. But thank God it wasn't the purity of Jesus that was diluted. It wasn't the purity of Christ that was polluted. Oh, but thank God it's been bestowed upon you and I tonight. You remember over there? I'll give you one more. Remember over there in the book of Hosea? The Bible said Hosea took a wife of whoredoms. And the Bible said that she didn't play the role of the wife, but she played the role of the harlot. And she went back into whoredom. And the Bible said that kind of a good illustration is kind of like an auction block. And the reason is because the Bible said that the Lord told Hosea to go love her again.
That's right.
The Bible said He gave a homer of barley and a half homer of barley and He bought her back.
Yep.
So there's an auction taking place.
Yep.
And there's old Gomer standing up on the auction block. Everybody, every man in the city done had her way with her. There she was on the asking sticks. I mean the scars and the bruises of sin was on her life.
Right.
Can you imagine somebody said, "Anybody gonna start to bid in this dead silence?" Because nobody wanted her. Boy, I hope this will help you tonight. They come a time in your place. Hey, listen, that alcohol said I done stripped him of everything he's got.
Right.
There's a time that drugs said, I've done took from him. I've got his house. I've got his car. Hey, listen, I've got his wife ready to walk out the door. His kids don't want nothing to do. Boy, I hope you're hearing me tonight. Hey, listen, and all of a sudden there stands old Gomer on that auction block with her head bowed low and the marks of sin on her. Hosea steps in there and he said, I'll buy her back. I'll give a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. You know what happened? Sold. And he goes up there and he covers up his bride. And he said, I bought you for me and I'm taking you back to the house. I'm doing what the Lord's asked me to do. Hey, I just want to say something tonight. They have these things called sealed bids. You can bid a bid, but then you got to wait for the upset. You know, I have to see if anybody can upset that bid. There you and I stood, Brother Christopher, on the auction block of sin. Jesus stepped in, I mean about the time that Satan was about to drop the gavel. He already said, you's done and you's worthless. It was over. And Christ stepped in and said, I'll pay it all. I'll bid a bid. It won't be upset tonight. It won't be upset 10 years from now. It'll stand throughout eternity. I'll buy it. I'll pay full price for it.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you tonight, that was remembered against us when we stood on that auction block. Thank God purposely will never be remembered against us anymore. Amen. God never forgets anything. Let me say this now, I'm hurrying. He never figures out anything. You realize God's never been sitting around like you and I and go, oh yeah. I mean, 2 days later you're like, yeah, that's where I left it at. I remember that. That's never happened to God. You realize God, He's never went to bed and went to sleep and thought, what am I going to do? Tomorrow's the day. What am I going to do? Do you realize why we staying up late at night worried about who's going to be the president? Worried about what Wall Street's going to do in the morning?
Right.
Worried about what gas prices are going to be? Do you realize God's sitting on His throne and He ain't even nervous tonight?
Right.
I'm going to really fall out with somebody right here. I mean, He ain't dipping snuff. He ain't smoking cigarettes. He's the final authority.
Right.
You say, preacher, what's He doing? He's just trusting in the Word of God.
Right.
He's trusting in the Father. He's never just figured something out. He's already, I'm telling you tonight, the wisdom of God is perfect. But I want to say this tonight. God never forgets anything. God never figures out anything. But God's also, He's never been fooled by anybody. He's never been fooled by anybody. I was telling the church this last night, and I'm done. I was telling the church this last night. Boy, if we think tonight, I think we've got past the fact that we realize that Satan's not wearing a red uniform. He don't have pointy horns and a pitchfork. But I think here's where we're being fooled tonight. We think we're automatically going to know it's Him when we see it.
Yeah,
my Bible said that when Jesus said, one of you is a devil, that those other 11 disciples begin to ask within themselves, who is it? Is it I? Even when Judas dipped his hand in the dish, prophecy of the Lord, he that dippeth his hand in the dish of me, it is He. Even when they saw it happen, they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Judas gets up and he runs out. And they still begin to question within themselves. I want to say this tonight. They're going to look just like I look tonight. Dress up in a suit and a tie. Wear a pretty dress to church. Part the hair the right way. Talk the right way. Look like they walk the right way. I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible said inwardly, they're raving wolves.
Right, bro.
Outward they look just like a sheep. But inward they're... You want me to tell you how we can know that, Brother Chris? It doesn't matter if it's you preaching or what this world says is some big name preacher preaching. If it's the Word of God, I ought to get in there with you.
That's right.
Because that's the Bible.
You're right.
That's my Savior you're talking
right.
about. I didn't have no idea who some of you were testifying a while ago. But I'm going to be honest with you. You was blessing my soul just as much as the nun sisters was up there singing. You know why? Because who you was testifying about is my God. Brother, I don't even know your name. I don't even know where you work at. But when you was talking to your wife, I was in my soul. I was rejoicing because I've been where you're talking about tonight. Hey, listen, Brother Ken, I know what this fella, I've been there before. When you seem like exactly what you prayed and you saw God's faith for, all of a sudden that door's closed. Oh, but wait just a minute. There's a God in heaven hearing you. He's a God in heaven, knows what you need. Hey, matter of fact, before you ever called, He told us in the book of Isaiah, before you call, I will answer.
Right.
I just want to say this tonight. As we look at this, we see that the will of God, way of God, the wisdom of God. But nobody, God's never been fooled by anybody. Everybody around you may be fooled. God knows who you are. Paul said, I am persuaded. I want to say that. If Paul was able to tell young Timothy, I'm persuaded, that means this. Timothy, you ain't going to be able to talk me out of it. I've preached several messages on Calvary, on hell and salvation. And Brother Kevin, I always try to say this. I'm not preaching this to make you nervous if you're saved. But I want to go ahead and tell you this. If I can talk you out of your salvation while I'm preaching this message, you don't have salvation. I mean, I'm teaching in a marriage conference in 3 weeks. If they can talk me out of me being married, I want them to explain the last 21 years.
Right.
Hello? Because I've lived with her. I've experienced life with her. We've got children together. Hey, we've been at death's door together in that time. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, there will not be anything your neighbor can say, your foe can say, your friend can say, your family can say to get you to doubt that God is real tonight. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded. But I want to say this tonight. God's not fooled. God will not be mocked. What I'm saying is simply this. We may dress up like them. We may talk like them. We may even worship like them. But deep down on the inside, are we really like them tonight? There'd have been no question at all if Judas acted any different. And Jesus would have never made the statement like this. In that day, there'll be those that said, do we not cast out devils in thy name? We not do many wonderful works in thy name? He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Yep.
Right. I never knew. You know why? Because he will not be fooled.
Right.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're standing feet all across the house tonight. I just want to say I'm glad for the persuasion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a piano player. If you'll come to the piano, brother. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, nobody looking around.